Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can say amen now. That's okay. All right, here we go. Today we are celebrating the church festival of Epiphany. And Jeff this morning said, what does Epiphany mean? That's a good question. Anybody know what it means besides Pastor? That's pretty close. Enlightenment. Okay, let's go to the Oxford Dictionary. I think many of you know I like the Oxford Dictionary. Epiphany. Epiphanies is the plural of it. It's a noun. All right, here we go. The manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi. Okay, that's right on with yours. The festival commemorating the Epiphany on January 6th, we're a little bit behind, the manifestation of a divine or supernatural being, a moment of sudden revelation or insight. I had an epiphany today about Epiphany. Should I get the pun jar? All right, so if Epiphany means to reveal, how does the festival of Epiphany differ from the meaning of reveal in the book of Revelations? Interesting question, isn't it? We know in Greek the word for reveal is apocalypse. Okay? But is this, you know, we associate apocalypse with something being destroyed, right? Well, that's the English meaning. That's not the Greek meaning. We really want to know this. We go back to the original Greek. As nouns, the difference between epiphany and revelation is that the epiphany is a manifestation or appearance of a divine or superhuman being. All right, think about that for a second. It's the appearance or manifestation, boy, I got to get these teeth fixed, of a divine or superhuman being. Now, revelation, like in the book, is the act of revealing or disclosing. So, in other words, epiphany is the noun, revelation is the act. Make sense? Okay. So, one of them is we're going to see them, and the other one is the act doing that. Okay. So the word epiphany is from the Koine Greek, epiphaneia, okay, meaning a manifestation or appearance. It's derived from the verb pinev, meaning to appear. All right, so if something appears to us, it's an epiphany. So in classical Greek, it was used for the appearance of dawn, an enemy in a war, but especially of a manifestation of a deity to a worshiper. Okay? In Greek, we call that theophany. In Greek, what is theo? Anybody remember? God. So, theophany is the revealing of God. Okay? So, in the Septuagint, you got to remember that in the Bible, Hebrew was a dead language for about 4,000 years. So what happens is when we started to try and get the language of the day hooked in with it, the Septuagint comes from the word 70. They got 70 scholars together, Jewish scholars, and wrote the Hebrew Old Testament in Greek. So the Septuagint is a Greek Old Testament. And that's because Greek was the language of the day, and people could read it and talk about it in their own language. So that word is used of the manifestation of the God of Israel, and we have that in 2 Maccabees. Now, 2 Maccabees is in what we call the Apocrypha. That's the one that's in the middle. But in the New Testament, the word is used in 2 Timothy to refer either to the birth of Christ or to his appearance after his resurrection. So, it can mean either the birth or the rebirth of Jesus. I don't think I've lost anybody, have I, on that? I find that interesting. And five times it refers to his second coming in the New Testament. All right, so alternative names for this feet in Greek include theopania, which is a neuter plural rather than feminine singular. You know, Greek is one of those funny languages. It's an ending language. All right, now what do I mean by that? English is a word order language. If we change the order of the words in the sentence can change, right? In Greek, it doesn't make any difference where the word appears in the sentence. You got to look for the ending of the word, because the words that end in the same way are the ones that work together. So those words can be put anywhere in there. You just got to listen and look for those kind of things. Makes it real interesting, doesn't it? But it is also called, and this is why I wanted to bring this up, humera ton photon. What is photon? That we use in English. Light. Okay. Humera is day. So it's also not only a manifestation or appearance, it's the day of light. Now, go back to those sentences we started today. What did we say? Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Why? Because that's Epiphany. That's the other thing that it means. All right. So Jesus is the light of the world. Anybody know where that comes from in the Bible? Did you know you're going to get tested today, did you? Gospel of John, the first part. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. All right, so when we take a look at stuff like this, those messages are in there, but how many times do we read it, you know, discriminatingly? I think we miss that. All right, we actually have a service in the Green Hymnal. It's called the Service of Light. It's to be done at night because the light is ending. So we celebrate the light, okay? It's a whole liturgical church service centered around the concept that Jesus is the light of the world, and that light is going out for the night and will be back in the morning. So if Jesus is the light of the world, and He is lighting up, which was hidden in darkness, what was revealed in this light? See how we add epiphany to this. So what is being revealed in light in this time in the church? Well, we have two different traditions about what is revealed. We have the Western Church, Eastern Church, and both of those churches celebrate something different. In the Western Church, we have the visit of the three wise men, the Magi, to the baby Jesus. Anybody remember their names? Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Okay. Reason that's so important is because in the Eastern tradition, you chalk your doors at this time of the year. Okay? And above it, you put the date, and then you have C plus for Christ, M plus for Christ, and B plus for Christ. Why would you chalk a door? What is that going to do? It commemorates the blood put on the mantle by the Jews in the time of Passover. Okay, but that's an Eastern tradition. But you got to remember, the Eastern Church is almost as big as the Western Church. But what they celebrate in the Eastern Church at Epiphany is the baptism of Jesus. Now, last week we talked about baptism, right? Well, why? Now, both of these are valid, and they actually commemorate the same thing. What do you mean? How can this, you know, commemorate the same thing? How can this be? Or wait for it, what does this mean? There's a good Lutheran question for you. So the three wise men came to see the living God, made flesh. That's why I read all of the 1 John, who is the salvation of the world. So in other words, Jesus' manifestation or revelation as the Son of God to the Gentiles. Isn't that why the Magi came? Okay. Now, remember, what does Magi mean? Magic. Okay? So the Magi are wise magicians from where? Anybody remember? Especially if you went through my Bible study Wednesday. Persia. What is today Iran. All right, so they're court magicians from Persia. I find it interesting that that's about as pagan as you can get, but yet they recognize that Jesus is the king who was born. All right, so that's Western tradition. The Eastern tradition, the Epiphany, is the aftermath of Jesus' baptism. All right, so what happened after his baptism? The Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and what did God say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Both of these, both the birth of Jesus and baptism, have to do with what? The Holy Spirit. So when I say they're related, yeah, they are, because the Holy Spirit comes with us. You make sense? You understand that? Okay. This festival is important because it deals with two important parts of Christianity. Jesus' humanity and his divinity united in one package. Now, I think sometimes that's hard for us to understand. Book of Concord says one of the things that we don't do is we talk about his divinity, his humanity. All right, two pieces of wood. And it says you can hit glue, glue them together. Is that the way it works? Why not? Because I see some heads going out there. Well, because they're still separate, aren't they? Okay? They might be touching each other, but they're not joined. So we know that Jesus' humanity and his divinity are together in one person. That's why he was born. Does Jesus live his divinity? No. I mean, he reveals it a few times. Okay. Before Jesus is resurrected, what does he call himself? The Son of God or the Son of Man? Son of Man. After his resurrection, he calls himself the Son of God. All right, so what happens then is he doesn't accept his divinity or live it until after the resurrection. But yet he shows himself. He calls himself the Son of God one time. Anybody remember where that is from the Bible? I'm looking at a pastor. The lady at the well. Remember her? One that's been married five times. And he calls himself the Son of God. He reveals his divinity. Transfiguration. Okay, he and James, John, and Peter are all going up the mountain. And can't you imagine they're teasing each other, having fun and things like that. Get up on top of the mountain. All of a sudden, Moses, Elijah appear up in the sky. Jesus goes up in the air with them. Peter goes nuts because he said, well, we're going to build three tabernacles. In other words, we're going to erect three tents. Now, here's the guy you were just joking with. He's your buddy. And all of a sudden, you're looking up, and he's flying in the air on his own. Now, how would you feel about that? Okay, there's his divinity. But how often does he do that? He doesn't. So, we record that in the New Testament that there are some times. But this divinity is also revealed. Remember, I'm coming back to Epiphany. Revealed to us at the time of his birth. Because who is he? He's God. But yet he's also man. Now, the Russian and Greek Orthodox churches have a tradition of this time of the year that since Epiphany deals with baptism, we renew our baptism. Well, how do we do it? Well, we had baptismal fun up here. Ah, grasshopper. This ain't Russia. So in Russia, they dig a hole in the ice. And they put a thing, you strip down your underwear, you go in the water, you dunk yourself three times, and you get out. Brr. Can you imagine doing that? Oh. Anyway, that's the Feast of the Epiphany. I don't think I could do that either. You know, I come from the Russian Lutheran Church, and there's a lot of bleed through. You know, like I played Salvation is Created by Chestnikov for you. We used to sing that in church. Salvation is created. You know, so it's one of those hymns that, you know, came from out of the Russian Orthodox Church. However, I'm sure glad that the idea of going into the ice, into the ice water of a river, is not something we do every day. Okay? Didn't make it into the Russian Lutheran Church. Why did Jesus come? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us so that we might have everlasting life with him in heaven. Right? Why? You know, here's the thing. You got somebody that's going to be a new Christian. All right. Why did Jesus have to die? Well, to give us eternal life. Why? Well, here's where we get some things. And I've talked about this. Anybody remember what I say up here at communion? Especially when I pick up the wine. Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. All right, so if that's the new covenant, what's the old covenant? Law. All right? And so under the law, you had to make sacrifices, right? All right? Does God change his mind? See, there's a good question. If he didn't change his mind, would prayer have any use? Think about that for a second. Why do we pray? Lord, please forgive. Please heal. Do this. Of course he can change his mind. And here's why. God came up with 10 laws for us, right? How many did we turn it into? 613. And God's going, oy vey. Face palm. All right, so he's looking at this and he says, why? Well, did he know this was going to happen? Of course he did. But it's time to change. So how do I complete the old covenant, the first covenant, so that the new covenant can have power? Well, the sacrifice has to be important enough that it completes the law. How do you do that? God so loved the world. See, we go right back to that again. Now, who died on the cross? I'm looking at Gene right now because this is what he came up and said to me one day. God died on that cross. Well, I thought Jesus did. Is Jesus God? Yeah. So when Jesus went to that cross, God went to that cross. God so loved the world that he sent part of himself to die for us. You ever thought of it that way? Interesting, isn't it? All right, so here's the thing. I find this really interesting. In a catechism, Luther deals with what he calls the humiliation and the exaltation. What is the humiliation? Jesus living as a man. Why? Why is that a humiliation? Because he was God who came down and lived as one of us. He humbled himself. Remember, humiliation and humble come from the same word. Okay? So, what's next? Well, his divinity. When does he express his divinity? After the cross. So before the cross, he humbled himself. After the cross, he exalted himself. Because the God's there all the time. Is he still man? Sure he is. Because he came and was both of these together. when we have this day of Epiphany, remember we're dealing with both the birth of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, does that answer what Epiphany means? Jeff said, I was thinking, how am I going to take a 15-minute or 20-minute sermon and bring it in to tell you? Because it's a pretty big subject, isn't it? Epiphany is important. I almost robed up today, but I thought with all the water and stuff, I wouldn't. But what does this day mean for us? Our salvation. This is most certainly true. May this blessing of Epiphany keep your hearts and minds on the humanity and divinity revealed on this day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.